here. And so glad to have, as I mentioned, Brother and Sister Gaddy here with us today. And I'll just be real honest with you. He was a nobody and a nothing. And I took it upon myself, me and another person, and we invited him to the Preacher's Cup. He was one of the original eight at the Preacher's Cup. Since then, General Superintendent, District, or General Assistant Superintendent's come out of that. Our Secretary of the District, Brother Sullivan, got his start there. Men's ministry leaders, ladies' ministry leaders, it was a very good thing to belong to. Kind of like the Trilateral Commission. You know, many presidents are part of that, and so it is with the United Pentecostal Church hierarchy. Brother and Sister Gaddy have been our friends for almost 30 years. He's been youth secretary, youth president, home missions director, district secretary, now our superintendent. We love them very much, appreciate his great leadership in our district. The district is doing awesome under this leadership. And Brother Gaddy, we are so honored that you're here today, and we want you to come. We want you to take your liberty in the Lord. The sanctuary loves you, Brother Gaddy.
Thank you. I love you very much. Thank you.
Let's stand and just applaud the Lord for his goodness today. Would you do that? Oh, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord right now. How great he is. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. I bless your name this morning, Lord. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house today? There is no place I would rather be on the first day of March 2020 than in the house of the Lord. Amen. Take just a moment and find a couple of people and compliment them today. Tell them they look nice. Their hair turned out nice. Their breath smells good. Greet somebody today. Amen. Amen. And once you've done that, you can just remain standing if you would. Brother McBride just said something that really helped me out. Oh, I just feel better right now than just a few minutes ago. You know, for many, many years, as a part of this Preacher's Cup that we've been going to, I've always heard of this committee that determines things, who's invited and what the rules are and what the meals are going to be. And for many, many years, it's just been this ethereal, no one says I'm on the committee. But this church just heard him say that myself and another person took it on ourselves to invite him. I thought I was so close to breaking the code. Amen. But it is such an honor to be here this morning. Stacy and I have looked forward to this for quite a while now. And to be with Brother and Sister McBride, our very, very dear friends. We love them so very much. And then Pastor Jason, Sister Rachel, great to be with you and your sweet daughters. Last night we had some fellowship over at the McBride's house, and Tyler and Vosti were there, and the holy child, Sophia. She's just adorable. But just to have time with this family was very special to us. And I'm so thankful that my wife is here with me today. She is my better half. I will tell you that, wholeheartedly tell you that. But Stacy is a wonderful lady, and I'm so thankful that she's here. And then to see so many familiar faces, and since I was here last, to see some people I don't know, that lets me know the church is growing, and I'm thankful for that. I believe the Lord wants to send a word into Lincoln today. Scripture says that the Lord sent a word into Jacob. And I believe the Lord wants to send a word into Lincoln, Arkansas today. How many of you want to hear what God has to say today? Will you just lift up your hand with me and say, Lord, speak to us today. Speak to us today, Lord. We open up our spirit. We open up our mind to you right now. I pray, Lord, you will drive every distraction out of this house and let there be a clear, clear word from the Lord. We bless you, Lord, in advance, and we thank you for speaking. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I've been so blessed by the worship that's gone forth. Brother Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for leading us. He's been such a blessing, not only here in Lincoln, obviously, but across our district many times. And I also want to say about Pastor Jason, he has helped us for the last several years with our ministry licensing coordinating. And due to his good leadership and information given to people, we have over 400 preachers in the Arkansas district now for the first time. And I thank God for that. Thank you, Brother Jason, for your leadership. Thank you for your help with that. That has been a great blessing to our district. Amen. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Isaiah, chapter number 9. And I'm going to read a couple of verses from a passage of Scripture. And on the surface, when I begin to read, you may say, well, Brother Gaddy, you're about 2 months late for this passage. No, it is kind of pigeonholed as a Christmas passage, but I'm not going to preach a Christmas message today. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Everyone say his government. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. How many are thankful for his name? How many are thankful you've had that name revealed to you? How many have been baptized in that name? We pray in that name. We believe in that name. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is from the 7th verse that I want to lift my subject this morning, where the Scripture simply says, of the increase, everyone say the increase, of the increase of His government and peace, and I love this next phrase, there shall be no end. I want to preach on increase today. Would you say that? Increase. Increase. Shake hands with two people. Say, we're going to hear about increase today, and then you may be seated. May the Lord bless you. You can be seated. She stood in a testimony service in a faraway state, nowhere near Lincoln, Arkansas. She was most likely a very nice saint of God in the church. When she stood, she simply began her testimony with these words, I'm thankful tonight that our church is just like it is. I like our church just like it is. I know every person's name. I know all of their kids' names. We're all a close family. And if that was all she had said that night, perhaps people would leave and it would not be a footnote in lore going forward. But she continued. In fact, I love this church so much like it is right now. I hope it never grows larger than it is right now. And with that, she sat down and people's mouths were dropped open. How many of you know that is why some churches don't have testimony service anymore? Because I want to just declare right out of the gate in this Sunday morning, this is an exciting time to be a part of God's church. And besides being very nearsighted kingdom-wise, this sweet lady's declaration and her plea is a gross misunderstanding of the very nature of God's church. Because Isaiah said it clearly, of his government there shall be no end. And if you and I think with a Western American Arkansan mindset, we can think President, Congress, State Senate, State Reps, and yet Isaiah was not talking about a democratic political system of government. That word government simply means the rule, the dominion, the impact, and the influence. And Isaiah boldly declared that rule, that impact, that influence will never, ever end. So let me say it clearly this morning. It is the will of God for His church to continue to grow. Now, I don't feel like I have to convince anybody of that, but God is a great God, and God is a God of increase. I believe He wants our ministries to grow. I believe He wants our departments to grow. I believe He wants our personal lives to grow. Because of His influence, of His impact, there shall be no end. When God is bringing His church to a place of growth, many times scripturally, He accomplishes this through a transitional time. Let me give you Bible for this. When God is bringing the church from addition, He added to the church in Acts chapter 2. To the place of multiplication in Acts chapter 6, He accomplished that through transition. When He took 120 believers in the upper room in the book of Acts, and just a few short verses later, 3,000 are converted. It came through transition. When the church grew from 3,000 to 5,000, it came through transition. So please hear me today. While there exists within God's church things that must never change, doctrine doesn't change. Purpose doesn't change. But coexisting within God's church, dwelling right alongside, is the constant necessity of transition, of growth, of modifying, of adjusting. Transition is powerful and transition is necessary. Anything that's growing is going to come to transition. You and I are not wearing the same clothes that we wore when we were 10 years old. If you are and you're 40, you look strange today. What happens when things begin to grow? Transition takes place. I know a thing or two. I don't know a whole lot about physically growing, but I know a thing or two. And when I began to grow, which again, it wasn't really a vast growth spurt, my shins started hurting. Why? Because the body is adjusting to this growth. There are things that come with growth, but can I say it again this morning? Growth is God's will in His church. It's God's will. And so transition is, in an apostolic church, as real a necessity as praying people through to the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Please hear me today. Prayer brings the outpouring, but preaching brings the increase. I want to say that again. Prayer brings the outpouring. Thank God for First Sunday prayer. I took note of First Sunday prayer, Wednesday's first Wednesday worship. This is the first Sunday sermon. We can pray the outpouring down. We can pray the glory down. But in an apostolic church, when a man or woman of God steps up and begins to declare, thus saith the word of the Lord, that kind of practice brings the increase that God has for His church. Everybody say it, I need preaching. Look at your neighbor and say, you need preaching, whether you believe it or not. Can I just tell you something? And I'm not pretending to be pastor of this church today, that you got blessed leadership here. But when we are feeling weak in our walk with God, that is not the time to park it at home and say, I think I'm going to sit this one out. That's the time to get into the house of God and hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because preaching brings increase. Preaching, declaring God's word, brings increase. Let me give you a Bible for it. Acts 2 and 12. They were all amazed at this outpouring. Some were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Notice in verse 14, Peter lifted up his voice. Notice in verse 16, Peter said, this that's happening right now is that which was prophesied by Joel. He was declaring what God was saying. In verse 37, when he gets done preaching this sermon, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. One version says they were cut to the heart, and they said, what do we have to do? Why? Because apostolic preaching will always bring about a response. This is why, Brother McBride, I've made up my mind. When I'm in a service and I'm not doing the preaching and somebody's preaching, they may be preaching about prodigals coming back home. But when the altar call is given, I come up to the front. Why? Because I want to train myself that is God speaking to me right there. I want to lead myself that His preaching can touch me. It can change me. It can do in me what nothing else can. Preaching will bring increase. So the powerful Holy Spirit is poured out and apostolic preaching goes forth. And when they gladly received His word, verse 41, 3,000 souls were added. Preaching brings increase. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. So I say to every preacher in this house, preach! I say to Pastor Jason this morning, preach the word of God. I say to Pastor McBride today, preach the Word of God. I say to every man and woman of God that teaches the Word, give us the Word, because that kind of Word brings increase. Amen. It's something about it when you start declaring God's Word. It is sharp and it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It knows how to go where we can't go in our human ability. Faith comes by hearing, the Scripture says, and hearing by the Word of God. Preaching is what will save Lincoln, Arkansas. Whew. Listen to me. Our church is full of people, and we're involved in the community, and we're involved in social things to help people and feed people and house people. And I thank God for every one of those great things. But how many of you know you can go to hell and not have a house? You can go to heaven barefoot, but I can't make it over there if I'm not saved. And God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So let me just say it to this great congregation. Every time a preacher steps up to this pulpit, make sure you're saying, preach it, brother. Come on, preach the Word of God. We need that preaching. It's what's going to bring increase. Praise God. Everybody say increase. Preaching brings increase. Secondly, apostolic leadership is necessary for increase to take place. Absolutely. Acts chapter 6, you know, we talk a lot about Acts chapter 2. It's kind of that hallmark passage. A lot of apostolics have the 38th verse of Acts 2 to memory. But I like looking at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, in my opinion, is the hinge point of the entire book of Acts. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, verse 1, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. By the way, can I just tell you something? It's my experience that when a church grows, one of the first things that people sometimes feel is neglect. I didn't get to shake Brother McBride's hand. I've done that every Sunday since 1943. Now, lest we think that we're strange for growth happening and neglect, it happened in the book of Acts. The widows, some of these folks started feeling neglected. Verse 2, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And so let me just tell you what I felt the Lord whisper in my spirit for this morning. If the sanctuary of Lincoln will fulfill its God-appointed purpose in this town, and I believe it will happen, it will happen when all leaders step up and function in their leadership role in the church. There is a reason we're called the body of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, the head to the feet. The body is not one member, but many members, Paul says. There are many members, and yet it's just one body. We're all collective members of that one body of Christ. And Paul said, because of this, there should be no schism, no disunity in the body. But everybody functioning in their role to make the church what it needs to be. Amen. We were remodeling a building a few years ago. And during that time in Cabot, we had to be out of our entire building for about 8 weeks in a row because it was just all deconstructed and dust everywhere. And so we rented a junior high, I believe it was a junior high gymnasium for 8 weeks. And we had a team, Brother McBride, that would come in early on Sunday morning and set up all the sound system and arrange the chairs and, you know, make it kind of churchy. And they were just awesome. They had it down to a science. I remember one Sunday in particular, I decided I'm going to go early to the church, to the gym. My sermon was ready. I was ready to preach that day. And I thought, I'll just lend a hand. And so I showed up at the gymnasium, and the team's already there, and they're moving around. They just kind of wave at me. And they're doing their jobs. And so I figured, I'm going to help. That's kind of, I just like to help. And so I walked over behind a row of chairs, and I saw sitting on the floor over here one cord. And then I saw another cord by itself over here. And I thought to myself, those look like they go together. And so because I want to help, I just reached down and grabbed that cord and that cord, and I put them together. And the sound that began to emanate out of the speakers up at the front of that gymnasium was a sound unlike anything that I had ever heard in all of my days. It wasn't a pleasant sound. It wasn't soft to the ears. It was a screeching, high-pitched sound. And have you ever had one of those moments when your brain is a little scrambled and you think to yourself, I wonder if I just did that? And so intuitively, I just reached down, grabbed the cords that are connected, and just unhooked them. And when I unhooked them, I think I heard a choir start singing somewhere. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. And then you have to decide whether you want to draw attention to what you just did. And so I just dropped them. I started walking around, finding something else to do, you know. Hoping that maybe I got away with that. I busied myself unpacking a box, and just a few short seconds later, I felt a hand come down on my shoulder. And I looked up, and it was a guy in our church by the name of John. John was over the entire team that sets up the gym every Sunday. And he has his hand on my shoulder. I look up at him, and I say, hey, John, what's up? He said, Pastor, I need to ask a favor of you. I said, sure, I'm here, man. My sermon's ready. I'm here to help. You tell me what you want done, I'll do it. He said, I would like you, Pastor, if you would, to take your Bible and your iPad, and I'd like you to go right outside that door right there. He said, you will notice there is a couch just outside of that door. And here's what he said. And we want you to go sit on that couch and hear from God for us. And then smiling, he said to me, we'll set up the sound system. And as humbling as that, you know what I did? I'm a good pastor. I walked right outside that door and I sat down on that couch and I was listening for God. But in that moment, it dawned on me, in the midst of that humbling moment, in the midst of that embarrassing moment, it dawned on me, this is an opportunity for the church to become the church. This is an opportunity for people to work within their gifting to accomplish everything that God had planned for that Sunday morning. What the sound guys did was absolutely necessary to get the preached word that God had put in my spirit out to the people that were sitting in those chairs. How many of you know it takes everybody working together? It takes the entire body of Christ. Come on, sister, don't grumble and say, I got a small part. You've got an important part in the kingdom of God. Apostolic leadership is vital. So if you're ushering, ush with all of your might. If you're teaching, teach with all of your might. If you're parking cars, park cars with all of your might. If you're baking cakes, bake cakes with all of your might. It's people coming together that brings increase. It never ceases to amaze me what happens when the body of Christ begins to work together. I want to tell you what I feel. I feel that in this church. I feel like that the days of not just addition, but the days of multiplication are coming in Lincoln, Arkansas. But it's not going to happen if we don't have preaching. It's not going to happen if we don't have apostolic leadership. But when we do have those things, there is a multiplication revival. That God, there's a multiplication outpouring and disciple making and move of the Spirit that goes far beyond what we've ever experienced before. How many of you know there's some prophecies prophesied over this place? There's some people that have spoke some words over this place. I wonder how many in this house today would be all right if God brought that to pass, if God brought it to pass, if God said, this is the year, this is the time, this is the moment, I'm going to bring some increase right now. I'm going to step in and bring increase in your family, increase in the church. Praise God. Apostolic leadership is absolutely necessary for increase. Acts 6 and verse 6, when they prayed, and they laid their hands on those they had mobilized to do the work of ministry. The Bible says, verse 6, the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That tells me there was a harvest field that was only reserved when God's church got positioned right in ministry. Amen. I guess we all understand this. I'm just about done, but I guess we all understand that this thing called outpouring, this thing called revival, whatever you want to call it, is not a lottery. Do we all understand that? Now, I have to tell you, Pastor Jason, I used to have the mentality that, you know, if all the stars would just line up, one of those Sunday mornings you come in and you can say hallelujah and you feel it in the heavenlies. And you know there's other people are feeling it. You walk in, woo, man, you're feeling it. You got one of those Holy Ghost shivers and you're not even started church yet. And all the stars are lining up. Oh, God, if we could ever have one of those Sundays when everything would come together and there would be this dumping out of your spirit. Can I just tell you something? I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be crude. That's not how it happens. Our number doesn't come up. I've used this example before. I won't belabor this, but there's not a big hopper up in heaven with names of churches on it. And the angel of the Lord just cranks it up every once in a while, and boop. The Lord announces on Sunday morning, March 1st, 2020, the sanctuary of Lincoln. You get a great revival. Woo! That's not how that happens. How it happens is when people on first Sunday night of prayer are in the prayer room saying, God, we're praying for outpouring. God, we're claiming revival. But outpouring comes and revival comes when pastor steps up to the pulpit and says, thus saith the word of the Lord. Revival comes when people come together and minister in the body of Christ. That's how that happens. Let me finish. Perhaps the most poignant thing that I've ever had a chance to think about in the last few years is this. God's intention for His church has always been one word. Ready? And that word is greater. Isn't it funny? We can come to church and we can have a great Sunday and we walk out saying this. That was the greatest service we've ever had at the sanctuary. How many of you ever said something like that? Brother McBride told me Brother Tim Green was here recently preaching. Brother Green comes and have great revival. We say, now I'm going to tell you right now, Sister Rachel, that was the greatest revival we've ever had with an evangelist. But the church, did you say that? Okay, that proves my point. But I believe, the Lord tearing His coming, that there's going to be another revival. The way God has this thing designed is that we wouldn't just get to a climax and say it's all downhill from there. But God has this ever-increasing kingdom, this ever-increasing influence, this ever-increasing impact. There's going to come a day when you're going to have a revival that's going to make that revival seem like a little revival. God has an increasing kingdom, and His goal is always greater. Come on, I wonder how many would stand with me right now and say, Lord, we're desiring a greater move of the Holy Ghost. We're desiring a greater move of Your Spirit. We're desiring a greater impact in our city. Greater, greater, greater than ever before. Praise God. Jesus said, the works that I do shall He do also. And greater works than these shall He do, because I go to my Father. That's transition. He said there's going to be greater works. Now here's the thing that I've thought often about. If Jesus had said, the works that I do, He shall do also, that's good enough for some. You know, I'll just be honest. If you walked up to a funeral procession and touched the body and said, arise, and that body comes up out of that casket, and people are blown away, and the building's packed out, there's some that would say, that's good with me. I did exactly what Jesus did, because Jesus raised the dead. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, the works that you've seen me do, you're going to do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Greater in volume, greater in number, greater in impact. His kingdom always bends toward greater. Elijah, the great prophet of Old Testament, 8 miracles. Elisha, his successor, the next generation, 16 miracles. Even the United Pentecostal Church, which this church is a part of, over 10,000 ministers in over 200 nations of the world. Educational opportunities exploding in our organization right now. There are more being filled with the Holy Ghost consistently right now in the Apostolic Church than at any time in the book of Acts. Listen to me. Than any time in the book of Acts. You put all the people together named in the book of Acts that receive the Holy Ghost, and we have more people every year receiving the Holy Ghost than in the entire book of Acts. Brothers and sisters, greater has always been His intention. Let's claim that right now in prayer. Would you do that with me right now? Woo, hallelujah. Greater. Come on, somebody say it as you pray right now. I'm claiming greater, Lord. I am claiming greater impact for my family. I'm claiming greater impact for my church. I'm claiming that of the increase of Your influence, Your impact in our town, there shall be no end. Oh, we want that increase, God. We're calling it down. We're requisitioning it in prayer right now. We're preaching it. We're declaring it. We're positioning ourselves for it, Lord. We want that increase. If you're here and that is in your spirit today, if there's a cry deep in your spirit for greater than ever before in this church, I wish you'd quickly press in as close as you can to the front of this sanctuary right now. I want you to stand. I don't want you to kneel. I just want you to stand. But I feel like God's going to do something in prayer here in the next few moments. Ha! Oh! Ha! Brother McBride, I was sitting there a few minutes ago when I knew church was getting ready to start in Cabot, and I prayed this prayer, God, let Your glory fall in Cabot today, greater than it ever has before. Because that's God's intention. That's how God set this thing up. Increase is His plan. greater increase, no end. It's what we desire, Lord. It's what we're praying for. It's what we're believing for today, God. It's what we're claiming in prayer. It's what we're declaring with our mouth today. Greater increase, no end. Greater increase, no end. Woo! Ha! Greater increase, no end. Come on, young people, greater youth services, more increase in the youth group, no end to the impact of the church. Greater increase, no end. Come on, I wish you'd put your hand on somebody's shoulder, begin to intercede with them. Greater increase, no end. Come on, let it rain, Lord. Let it rain like an outpouring, like a storm cloud coming over Lincoln. Let the power of God rest on the house. Woo! Come on, somebody. Go ahead and step into intercession. Go ahead and step into the anointing of the increase of His government. There shall be no end. No end, no end, no end, no end. No stopping place. No climax. No end of the road. Woo! Increase. 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 Increase.